Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, broadcasting live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world, where I think I still have some listeners, to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side of the world, where I know that I have listeners, even though it's the middle of the night there, and they will be listening by the rebroadcast, which, or by the archive, which Captain O'Brien will do for me in a little while. I'm broadcasting live on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and broadcasting streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out to all of the people who entered and drove motor cars in the Strawberry Festival car parade on Sunday morning. The ever-beautiful Kate, the executive director of The Voice and your captain, broadcast that one live, and it was recorded. And should you not be able to have a complete day without seeing this, you can find it even on YouTube. It is up on YouTube, and the opening screenshot for YouTube shows an FJ-40 Land Cruiser. And this one has some significance to me because I owned an FJ-40 Land Cruiser. If there was ever an honest and hardworking little vehicle, they are it. I owned this up in the Sioux, where it was often at minus 30 in the winter time, and snow grommet high. And that little FJ-40 with the four-wheel drive engaged, you had to engage the front wheels by getting down and turning the Warn, W-A-R-N is the name of the manufacturer, Warn hubs by hand in order to engage the front wheels. And it also had the largest Warn winch up on the bow that Warn built that could be installed on an FJ-40 Land Cruiser. I made a big mistake and sold that vehicle when I left the Sioux, when I was transferred from the Sioux to Seattle. I should have kept it because now the same machine restored are drawing a huge amount of money, and finding one that is even in decent condition to restore now is a real challenge. I'll talk a little bit more about the car parade because the people that drove in it, many of them were indeed Captain Joe's people. Many of them were people who listened to this broadcast. There were Coast Guard ensigns flying from one of my Coast Guard families that has a VW Bug. VW Bug had the sunroof open. Not a common feature in VW Bugs. Had the sunroof open, and one of my much-loved friends was holding a Coast Guard ensign that was flying in the air as they drove through the car parade. And if you look at it on YouTube, you'll be able to see that. There were a number of very interesting cars, some that I had never seen before, some that are brought out just for this event, and some that have been newly acquired and brought onto the island, and some very interesting and unusual and, in a couple of cases, unique vehicles. And I'm very grateful to everybody who decided that they wanted to be a part of the Strawberry Festival and be a part of that parade. And if I made any mistakes in any of my remarks or comments, all of people who listen to this or who see the broadcast are welcome to send me a signal about that. My email address, of course, is Captain Joe, all one word, at CenturyTel, CenturyTel, all one word, CenturyTel.net, Captain Joe at CenturyTel.net. One of the motor cars in it was an original Datsun 240Z, Zulu Z. And parked right out in front of me is a current edition of the Zulu cars. Now Datsun is called Nissan. And this one is a brand new, looks to me that it is almost brand new. The Nissan people have revived the Zulu cars, and there is one of them right in front of me. Not my kind of motor car, but it's actually a lovely vehicle. Was not in the parade yesterday, but there was an original Datsun 240Z. The binnacle list today is directed in particular to all of Captain Joe's people who are in some form of rehabilitation. And there are several members of my Coast Guard channel crew who are reporting various levels of things that they need the energy from all of us directed in their direction. In my own case, tomorrow I meet once again with the lovely Vivian, my little Vietnamese registered nurse, who is in charge of the extraction and, should it be necessary, the insertion of a new piece of Mr. Foley. It is my hope, my wish, and would certainly be my command if I could command it, that I would not have to have Mr. Foley again. In any case, I also have a meeting with the medical practitioner who is in charge of that part of my ever-chafing body. And next week, I will report on how well we do. This broadcast today is going to be one of a little bit of healthy selfishness because I've had a number of signals over the week with people asking for updates and reports on things that I have talked about. And they are, in particular, things that have to do with my place in island life, my place as the Captain Joe of Captain Joe's people, my place as the head of a large and eclectic family. And so I'm going to report on all of these things. And if it be of no interest to you and you want to hear about things that are happening in the world, I'll have a little bit of that. But most of this broadcast is going to be about things that people have asked me about in the last week and signals that they have sent me in the last week. So one of them came from as late as this morning from one of my Vietnam shipmates in the Coast Guard cutter Ingham. And he reminded me that we have just had, or and I have just been a part of officer's call. Every day when I was XO in Ingham, and then every day in all of my ships, after the crew has had its dinner, there is a muster of all hands on the quarterdeck, on the fantail, the open space, on the flight deck, if the ship has a flight deck. And the purpose of this is to make sure that everybody in the crew is up to date on all of the things that are happening with the ship and the things that are going to happen. An informed crew is one that is not only kept apprised of what's going on, but also it is expected that that information also get to their families. Because all of my families that were part of my cruise were as important to me as the crew members themselves. I considered them to be part of ship's company. And so every day we would have the first pipe by the bosun's mate of the watch is officer's call. And all the officers would muster on the quarterdeck if it was fair weather parade, and if it was raining and blustery, it would be in foul weather parade. And foul weather parade is laid out in the ship's operations and regulations manual, and it is in the passageways inside the ship. But whenever possible, quarters would always be held out in the weather. And then the crew would muster. They would muster by divisions and by departments, and they would be, the man in front of them would be their department head. And at the command, XO is in charge of this particular muster. The captain does not go to quarters unless he has something special that he needs to pass on to his crew. And then I would always, if I had news for my crews that was not particularly happy news or really important news, such as the imminent deployment to the Great Lakes that I asked and required of my crew in my Northwind, I would ask XO to muster all hands at quarters, and then I would ask XO to have everybody fall out, gather around, and I would tell them personally whatever it was that it felt that it was necessary for the captain to convey. But normally, XO conducts quarters. At the end of the everybody forming up, then there is the command officer center, and all of the officers come and line up in front of XO. He takes their report that all hands are present or accounted for. And then he says, post, and they go back in front of their men. And XO, if he has a lot of information to pass, he will say, all hands fall out and gather around. I particularly like that custom because everybody would come in close and I would be able to sight each member in ship's company, even when I had as many as 300 people in my Northwind. And I would be able to gauge their reaction to whatever it was they were being told. So that's a little bit of nautical arcana from my life as both XO and captain. And so that particular message and that reminder came from Josh, my Vietnam shipmate. And he asked, first of all, about Midori. My Cal 29, which I have bought and am going to, if necessary, single hand and when possible, take people with me. And he asks, how went the maiden voyage? And so I have to confess that I have been unable to as yet get her underway on my own and under my own command. That is coming soon, not this week. I have a full dance card this week. But it will be happening soon, and I will be reporting back. In the meantime, I remember all of the commands. I've been practicing them. Sailor has been responding to such things as stand by to come about and helms a lee, or when you're going to jibe. A risky business, a parenthetical insertion here. I jibed once in a snipe with the centerboard up and with the young lady with me on whom I had evil intentions and rolled that snipe completely over at the command jibe ho, which is the command when you jibe, and rolled the boat over, rolled the young lady into the water, rolled me into the water. The centerboard went to the bottom of Rogers Lagoon in Aruba. It did not dampen, a little shipwreck pun there, did not dampen the young lady's enthusiasm or ardor. However, it did have to be postponed, but that's another story. End of parenthetical insertion. So, Midori, I am meeting today with Jeff, the owner from whom I am buying Midori, and we're going to go over our most important piece of information, and that is how to pump down the holding tank. For Midori not only has a marine toilet, but she has a holding tank, and of course, we do not ever pump overboard. We pump out in an appropriate marina or some other location. And the Quartermaster Yacht Club, in which I have solicited membership, have filed my application, have sent my check, has a pump-out facility, and I'm going to learn today how to use it. The second thing that I was asked was for an update on Blossom. In particular, Blossom, of course, is my little black cat, my little geriatric cat that nobody else wanted. And Sailor and I really did want and need her. We needed somebody to take care of in the house, and we got that in full measure with Blossom. Blossom has turned out to have really bad breath. It's so bad that it would knock the most hardened Master Chief bosun's mate off of his stool in the cave bar in Hong Kong. And so I have her booked to have a major rework of all of her mouth. And because she is 17 or 18, she may well end up with fewer teeth. But whatever the remedy is, we will figure it out. And in the meantime, she is becoming ever closer. We've been working this problem now for 2 years. You would think that maybe by then she would have figured it all out. I figured it out. And so Sailor, in the meantime, continues to be the steadfast XO, the XO that everybody hopes that they have. The other thing that I was asked, that I have been asked, is how did it go over the 4th of July with a very large family contingent and no water? We were able to get some water into the storage tank. Most of that came over from my next-door neighbor with a 200-foot length of hose, and now the storage tank is full, but I believe that the pump that puts the water pressure into the house has failed. But the way it worked while I had all those people here was that when it was necessary for somebody to take a shower, they were required to take a sea shower. A sea shower is what is often required aboard ship because ships either carry all of the fresh water that they use from the shore or they make it. My Ingham is a steam-powered ship, and therefore she has to make her own fresh water for the boilers. Boilers require extremely pure water, no little particles and no swimming things in it. And so she makes her own fresh water and makes it in copious quantities. So steamships usually have enough water that everybody has to be careful and not lavish, but at least are able to take showers. Sea showers are when you get in the shower, you turn on the water, you wash down quickly, you get wet, turn the water off, soap up, lather up, do all of the necessary scrubbing, and then turn the water back on briefly in order to sluice everything down the drains. That's a sea shower, and for those who felt it necessary to take showers while they were with me during the 4th of July celebration, we had School of the Boat on how you take a sea shower, and in fact, the few people who felt it necessary to modify their particular body odor were required to and did in fact take sea showers. At the same time, we decided that we would use only disposable cutlery and paper products. We have a lot of trees in the Pacific Northwest, and we were the cause of a number of those being cut down to provide us with all of the paper products that we used for all of the meals, and we had almost continual mess lines going for the what turned out to be almost 4 days. But it was a grand and glorious time, and everybody heaved around, everybody helped everybody else, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And my heart as a parent, as a grandparent, as the head of this family is still aglow from all of the things that we were able to do together. Some of the cutlery, by the way, was made out of bamboo, disposable bamboo. One needs to be careful with bamboo because there is the possibility of a little slivering. They say not, but it looked to me like it was sure possible to put a piece of a bamboo fork into one's fingers. I have tried to talk a little bit about those things to fulfill my mission on this broadcast, which always is for everyone to feel just a little bit better about themselves and the world in which we live. And in a minute, I'm going to give you a story which is very, very troubling to me. But before that, I have a couple of other signals that came to me. And one of them was from Carl Westfall. Carl is the son of my captain in Ingham, for whom I served as his XO. Carl and his sister Debbie, of course, with their mom Mary, were waiting for us on the shore in Portsmouth, Virginia, when we returned from Vietnam. And one of the gifts that we brought for Carl was a Nehru jacket. And I remember now going with Captain Westfall into a store in Hong Kong and his excitement at finding this and thinking how Carl would enjoy having it. Unfortunately, Carl's message to me came by way of the voice, and it did not come with a, to me anyway yet, with an email or a response address for Carl. So Carl, if you're listening to this broadcast, know that I did get your message. Know that I'm very much looking forward to seeing you and Debbie in September in Ingham. And I will tell you some stories about your dad and my time together. And I am just delighted that the two of you are going to be there. And I will extract from the voice the email address or the reply address that I can tell you this in a signal just from me to you. But in the meantime, if you're listening to this, I did hear, and I am really looking forward to having you with us as part of the times that we remember all of our time together. Another signal came to me a couple of days ago from my family in Stockholm. It included a photograph of the son and heir of that family, Tim, of the two of us together. And I mention that because I am faced with what am I going to do with all of these photographs that have been collected over the years. Mary was a genius at collecting and cataloging and labeling photographs, even ones that came from my childhood. And I haven't yet figured out what I'm going to do with these albums, volumes and volumes of them. But somehow we will make it all happen. The last thing before I get into the article, which is so troubling to me, is that today in G Captain, the Matson line, that old line that goes back and forth between here and Hawaii, has suspended shipment of electric vehicles and hybrid electric vehicles that you plug in. That means that they also have the lithium-ion batteries in them. They've suspended shipment of them over concerns about battery fires. And we know that we have had several serious incidents of battery fires aboard ship, and in particular in ships that carry only motor cars. It is significant, though, that Matson, which is one of the carriers that carries military cargo, including household goods for military people being transferred to and from the islands, will no longer be carrying, at least for now, until they figure out a better way of making sure they don't catch on fire, the vehicles that carry these lithium-ion batteries. The story that is causing me so much discord and concern this morning is this. The Russians have discovered, as they do their research down in Antarctica, a huge pool of raw oil. Now, Antarctica is protected by the Antarctic Treaty. It went into effect starting in 1959. My friend, colleague, and director of the Scott Polar Research Institute, Dr. John Heap, was one of the architects of the Antarctic Treaty, and I am one of the people who helped to update parts of it when I was in residence at Scott Polar. And I am part of the organization that helped to enforce it when I was part of Operation Deep Freeze. The troubling part about this is that there is a huge amount, apparently a huge amount of oil down underneath the Weddell Sea, which is where this was found. And it was found by the Russians, and the Russians have a demonstrated lack of concern for treaty obligations. I make a parenthetical insertion here that there is some evidence that our own government these days is beginning to become less concerned about their treaty obligations, close parenthesis on that one right now, for right now anyway. My concern here is that if the Russians decide to pull out of the Antarctic Treaty, and they are one of the first signatories to it, along with the United States and Australia and New Zealand and Argentina and the United Kingdom, if they decide to pull out of the Antarctic Treaty, which forbids any even exploration for oil, much less any drilling for it, that they will no longer feel obliged to observe those provisions of the treaty, and that we will begin to see oil rigs from a non-signatory nation. I believe wholeheartedly, with all of this black captain's heart and soul, in the value and the integrity of the Antarctic Treaty. And it would be heartbreaking to me personally, but in a much larger sense, it would be disastrous for the world if the provisions of the so carefully crafted Antarctic Treaty are no longer followed and observed. I'll have more to say about this because all too quickly, yet once again, we have come to the end of our time together. My large Omega watch is telling me that it is time for me to say once again that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. We'll meet again right here. And right here from the captain's chair, wherever that captain's chair may be, wherever in the world I happen to be at any given time, I will always be broadcasting live to all of Captain Joe's people, wherever you may be. All of you who are on the binnacle list, as always, are in the palm of my hand, and in fact, that is true of all of Captain Joe's people. With that, I say, as I always do, as I close every broadcast, I am with you, and I am on station and watching properly.